We've seen some facilities go basically 80s more than average. We've seen as high as 110% in a couple areas. Ultimately, device sanitization changes the workflow behavior. It becomes a constant reminder that when you sanitize your device, you should be sanitizing your hands more. And those two go hand in hand. Mind the pun.
So hand in hand, that's right. So hand hygiene compliance being driven by device disinfection technology. And Christian, there's been some studies on this, right? That, you know, a lot of healthcare facilities are investing in hand hygiene compliance, but maybe they don't realize they risk negating that investment if they're not addressing device disinfection. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, correct. So a lot of peer review has been done in this area. And they've looked at instances to where clean hands have interacted with devices that were not properly sanitized or disinfected. And what was the result? What was the transfer, right, of what was possibly on that phone? Was it transferring to in the hands? How quickly would it transfer to the hands? So, you know, high level, the abstract of that, of one of many. And matter of fact, this peer review study goes back even to 2012, 3 years prior to the electroclave. So they were aware that phones have been around in hospitals since, you know, replacing intercoms, if you will. So, you know, we've gone through a bit of transition from, you know, intercoms to, you know, the cordless style phones to now smartphones, of course, in hospitals for unified communications. But the study said, okay, so if we take a clinician or a physician and we have them, cleanse their hands, let's then culture their hands and see if we determine that anything's existing on their hands at that time. The studies show that, you know, when their hands were disinfected and cleansed properly, they recovered exactly what they expected, zero CFUs of any organisms on their hands. Then they would actually take a culture of their device, their phone. Then they would grow that in incubation and they'd be like, okay, it's got these specific organisms present on the device at this time. They then have that clean hand interact with that dirty device, reculture the hand, and the interaction of the hand to the phone, they ask the physician or healthcare worker to simply just touch their phone as if they were to make a call. And in that one interaction, there was a 97% confidence of what was available on that phone as far as microorganisms was now on their hands, and it was caught in that second inoculation and culturing of the hands. So it proved that this transfer of organisms from a dirty device to a clean hand is negating hand hygiene. So if we do not have a reasonable process in place to cleanse these devices, these portable electronics, right? So it spans the gamut, everything from phones to tablets. There's many portable electronics that our staff are using in healthcare today. If we do not take care of the device, we're basically negating our largest investment in fighting and preventing cross-contamination
the hand hygiene.
Correct. And so we often say, look, if you're not going to do anything with your portable electronics, you might as well only wash your left hand because it's about as effective.
Well, so I think this is a fantastic correlation of data that we found that there's a one-to-one ratio with clean hands versus dirty devices. So you're going to pick up whatever's on that device, even if you have clean hands. And we've shown with CleanSlate that you can drive hand hygiene compliance with device disinfection. That's a win-win. Now you're driving hand hygiene compliance and you're not negating that hand hygiene investment by using device disinfection with UV.
Yeah. And I would like to point out, I think at this point, if you're listening to the podcast, probably where you're going next is it's a wonderful technology. We all agree it works, but we just don't have the budget for technology of this nature. And I would suggest you to take a look at our ROIs and our case studies, because what we have found and presented to CIOs most recently here, even in this year at Chime, is, you know, what does the ROI look like if you invest in a UV solution to help you manage and properly sanitize these portable electronics in the healthcare system? I think you'd be quite surprised. And I'll just give you a couple tidbits from the case study, but I'd urge you to go to our website and take a look at under our resources tab. Utilizing a UV product to sanitize your devices as opposed to the best alternative, which would be picking up a wipe, a disinfectant wipe that your infection control has approved for that particular ward or that particular facility or that floor, et cetera. It's roughly a 90% savings in operational expense, right? So one-to-one.
The cost of the wipes and—
Correct. Yeah. The cost of the wipe. So looking at the cost of one wipe, if it only took one wipe, for them to actually wipe the device down, you know, operational expense, 90% savings right off the bat. You then compound that with the labor savings, which is even much larger, you know, assuming a very, very, and you'll see in the case study, a very, very small burden wage rate. We took a very conservative approach. You're saving roughly 2x on labor. All said and done, the ROI, when you look at utilizing a UV solution like a clean slate or an electroclave, you're looking at an ROI that's more than likely going to be in under a year, right? So you can't not afford to put UV solutions in place, increase your hand hygiene effectiveness, reduce your operational expenses, and all while improving patient outcomes. That's our mission.
I want to get back to talking about the Clean Slate acquisition, but first, you know, you brought something up that I think you mentioned that the electroclave really stemmed from the needs of IT. Maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the other benefits outside of the infection prevention benefits of UV that the electroclave provides from an asset management standpoint for IT. Why is it beneficial to IT, and how does it save IT labor cycles by utilizing the electroclave over other alternatives for device management?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had a couple of healthcare systems to where, you know, they were purchasing iPhones in this case, specifically for mobile applications that were connecting to Epic, and in other cases into Cerner. So they deploy these phones across all the wards. It becomes the unified communication device. And, you know, let's assume that they purchase 30 devices for a floor, right? And they know that they've got X amount of healthcare workers that are in rotation at any given time. So they've got a few devices that are not at any time deployed. So they've got what they would call some idle devices. The reality is these devices over time, if you don't physically track them, they begin to become misplaced, lost, stolen, et cetera. And then so that affects the ratios in which they purchase devices. So now if they thought they had, let's say, 6-7 devices that were idle at any given time during a shift on a floor, and they had 10 devices that were now misplaced or stolen over a year, they no longer have the assets needed for the exact reason that they implemented that solution, which was patient workflows. So now you've got no devices to be utilized by staff. So the electroclave gives them this extra level of physical tracking that they can't get through their existing MDM solutions that they've already deployed. So the MDM solutions, not to be confused, are helping them with all of their software, helping them with their application and their provisioning. But at the end of the day, these devices have to go live somewhere. They've got to be charged and they've got to be locked down and stored.
So you mentioned the charging piece. I think that's another important attribute of the electroclave. It's not just UV device disinfection. We talked about the RFID tracking and the use of the standard badging that is utilized in healthcare today. But there are USB ports within the electroclave that allow devices to not only be disinfected, but to be charged while they're being disinfected simultaneously and also re-imaged. Is that correct? Can you talk a little bit about the IT savings from that feature?
Yeah. So re-imaging, let's start there. So re-imaging happens, depending upon the OS of the device, happens one of two ways. If it's an Apple device, some of the re-imaging and provisioning has to today, because of Apple, still occur over the wire. So over the wire means that device has got to come to a system that's connected to a host that can allow them to remotely reprovision or re-image that iPhone, that tablet, et cetera. An Android-based device, they can do reprovisioning over the air. So really, you know, not such a big constraint there, but specifically, you know, with iOS-based devices, you need that device to touch a wire physically to do some of the reprovision and imaging. And the electroclave facilitates that through that same USB port that it's charging the device. So now you're charging, you're re-imaging and provisioning, and you're cleansing the device all in one swoop, right? No extra step or time.
So you're also not jeopardizing the health of the IT workers as they're working with dirty devices. You don't have to collect every device to update those devices. It can be done as part of the regular disinfection process through the electroclave, a huge time savings for IT and a benefit to the health of not just the patients, but the practitioners, including the administrative staff and the IT staff.
Safety and time for IT. I can explain a specific case study. So one of the issues they have is, you know, every once in a while, they're going to need to physically touch the device. Maybe they've got to change a case on the device. Some organizations put holster clips on them. Things break. They have to eventually physically touch the device. So a lot of time was spent if they sent a desktop support technician to the field to go hunt down these devices. Where are they? Who had them last? They got to go on the floor. They've got to interview several healthcare workers trying to find, has anyone seen this particular device, right? There was a lot of time wasted in that effort. And again, when you've got thousands of devices, that adds up very quickly. So the Electroclave, we did two things from a reporting standpoint. We gave them the ability to send a notification to a device that they wanted to touch to let them know that the device needs maintenance. That sends that notification directly to the end user that has that device so they can return that dirty device or that device that needs maintenance to the Electroclave, swap it out for a clean charge device. And then as soon as that device that needs maintenance that was dirty and put into the Electroclave, IT can then see that through the report exactly where the device is. It's in a locked, secured cabinet. Now they can go and deploy themselves to that floor and grab maybe 10, 20 phones at one swoop without having to go to a floor and walk in circles and interview people to try to find devices. So even asset tracking extends, you know, efficiencies to IT from that perspective.
So a very well thought out solution for enterprise benefiting infection prevention and IT in a healthcare system. But I want to come back to the clean slate where you're getting rapid disinfection, easy to use, often deployed in waiting rooms or at hand washing stations. And so between the two different uses of UV technology, we've really covered all the applications that are most critical within a healthcare facility. But not only are the products technologically synergistic, there's a benefit as well geographically. So our viewers know that Clean Talk is hosted by Seal Shield, and we are filming live here at the Seal Shield studios and our headquarters in Orlando, Florida. Clean Slate, on the other hand, is an international company for us. They're based in Toronto, Canada. So what can you tell us about the geographic benefits of Clean Slate being in Canada? Or do you guys are fairly well recognized in the Canadian market. How do you see that being a benefit with this acquisition?
Definitely. So Clean Slate originally out of Toronto, Canada. Oh, been around for about, our brand has been recognized for about 7 years. We began in the healthcare sector. We're in over 400 hospitals throughout Canada, U.S. But with the rise of pandemic, we, especially being a very high use, very rapid disinfection product, and one that is very easily able for anybody to interact with the device to understand use firsthand, we saw expansions of our product outside of healthcare as well too. We've reached over 2,500 device clean slates deployed, even outside healthcare, retail, corporate, from government facilities, the whole wide spectrum where CleanSlate has been able to be recognized as a rapid device disinfection product.
Well, we're really excited to have CleanSlate as part of the Seal Shield family and help to us to expand not only in the UV space, but expand internationally in the Canadian markets. If you want to find out more about this amazing technology, go to sealshield.com. And if you'd like to become a member of our Clean Talk community, go to cleantalk.us to register and get updates on all our emerging content. We have fresh content every week in infection prevention. And again, we're very excited this week to be in Orlando attending the APIC conference. And gentlemen, I think it's about time that we head over to APIC now to help learn about more infection prevention technologies so that we can make healthcare a safer place for patients and practitioners, improving outcomes and reducing costs. Really appreciate you joining us today to talk about this amazing UV technology. I'm your host, Brad Whitchurch. For my guests, Christian Davis and Kevin Truong, thank you for joining us today on Clean Talk. And until next time, remember to keep it clean.